Here's a question for you. Is your homeschool prepared? Today on Canada Homeschools, we're going to be talking about emergency preparedness. Welcome to Canada Homeschools, the dose of inspiration and encouragement for Canadian homeschoolers. Canada Homeschools features interviews with homeschool group organizers, resource suppliers, and conversations with everyday homeschoolers just like you, all from a Canadian perspective. I'm your host, Rowan Atkinson. I'd like to thank you for joining me. Now let's get started.
In 400 meters, in 100 meters,
you have reached your destination.
Hi there. If you've followed me for a while, you've noticed that I don't have time to put out that much podcast content. But that doesn't mean I'm not putting out content in other ways. And when I can, I like to repurpose it for the podcast, just so I can stay connected with you and maybe share something with you that might be helpful. So today we're going to talk about emergency preparedness. This is a talk that I gave at my local church. I'm taking out the section of a biblical rationale for emergency preparedness, but if that's something that you would like to hear about from me, I'm happy to share it with you. We can connect on that. Emergency preparedness is making sure you have what you need in the event of an emergency. Our grandparents used to call it saving for a rainy day, and that was something that they practiced just as part of their normal routine. Rainy days are coming. It's just a matter of when. A few years ago, our well pump got struck by lightning. It took several days to get a new pump, and so we were without water for that time. My parents were in the ice storm in eastern Ontario many years ago and were out of power for 2 weeks. I couldn't help them because they were 6 hours away and the roads were impassable. Their neighbor had a generator and they had a gas fireplace, otherwise they would have been without heat altogether in our Canadian winter and frozen. The town where I live had a tornado recently. Not only was the tornado an emergency in itself, but it took a long time for insurance companies and community support to help those who suffered damage, so they needed to care for themselves in the meantime. Many of us lost our jobs or were underemployed due to the pandemic mandates, and the pandemic often required us to isolate in our homes for 2 weeks at a time or longer. If you own a small business, as I do, you have likely suffered financial loss during this time as well. My daughter lives in BC where there has been a lot of flooding. Supply chain issues and political factors are causing shortages, including food shortages, which will only get worse. Without getting political, but just being factual, our own government can now freeze bank accounts without due judicial process, which would be an emergency for most of us. These are just some of the emergencies that can happen without much warning, and so it is important to be prepared the best you can. In some ways, I feel like this talk is like closing the gate after the horse has already left the stable. We've had so many emergencies in the last few years. It's never too late to have the conversation, though. It's never too late to prepare. A little bit of preparation is always better than none at all, even if you're not where you want to be. There are a lot of opinions out there on prepping, and there are extremes at both ends, from no preparedness to extreme bunker apocalypse prepping. Preparedness is such a huge topic, so in order to have this talk today, I want to really discipline myself to narrow it down and focus on 72-hour preparedness and power outages. There are so many other topics like long-term food storage, bugging in, bugging out, but we're going to focus on 72 hours of preparedness. Public Safety Canada has partnered with the Canadian Red Cross and other organizations to launch a campaign, a 72-hour campaign, to ask Canadians to 1. Know the risks in their area, 2. Make an emergency plan, and 3. Get an emergency kit. There are a few reasons to be prepared for 72 hours. The first reason is this. Studies show that if you can survive the first 72 hours of a crisis, you will likely make it. You will likely survive. In preparedness, we have what is called the rule of threes. You can go only 3 minutes without air. You can go only 3 days without water. You can go only 3 hours without shelter. You can go only 3 weeks without food. So that 3 days without water is a big factor in the starting point of having 72 hours of preparedness. When our well pump stopped working, we were able to use the 3 days of water I had stored up to drink, brush our teeth, and to cook with. The final reason 72 hours is a good place to start is because it gives you a very doable and manageable goal to get you started in emergency preparedness. It would be easy to be overwhelmed with all you would need to do to be perfectly prepared, but if you break it down into manageable sections, such as 72 hours, it will help you. Prepping can be so overwhelming that it's hard to know where to start. We need to break our goals down into the manageable pieces. After you are prepared for 72 hours or 3 days, you can set your goal to 2 weeks. 2 weeks is the length of a pandemic quarantine, in our experience, so it's not an unrealistic thing to prepare for. 2 weeks gives you time to look for a job before the food runs out if you're laid off. 2 weeks of preparedness can help you reallocate your budget to deal with an unexpected expense or to easily pay for the expense because you have an emergency fund. I don't want to get ahead of us here, but I just want to say that we need to start with 72 hours and then set bigger goals. What does 72 hours of preparedness look like? We need to assess the risks of our likeliest situations and inventory our strengths and resources. What would really cause an issue if we ran out of it and couldn't just go to the store to pick up some more? While it will look different for different families, here are some things that will apply to everyone. The first is water for every person and pet. Don't forget your pets for 3 days. 1 gallon per day per person is recommended. The easiest way for 3 days is to have water bottles and jugs on hand. For longer term, you may need another solution, as it gets impossible to store hundreds of gallons of jugs of water. I have a Berkey water filter which can filter rainwater or stream water and make it safe to drink. You can get life straws or other emergency filters. Long term is not our focus here. Another idea is to have rain barrels that catch the rain off your roof. You may not want to drink that water, but it's really great for flushing toilets for 3 seasons out of the year. So let's move on to food. Breakfast, lunches, dinners, and snacks for each person for 3 days, plus food for pets. For the first 3 days of an emergency, you want to have food that is easy to prepare, because one big risk we face is the loss of power. Cooking without electricity isn't easy, or if you need to get up and go or bug out, this is a last resort. You want food you don't have to cook. A can of beans is already cooked and can be eaten cold if needed in an emergency. Dried beans in a short-term crisis with no power would be a big hassle to make edible. You'd have to soak them overnight and then you'd have to cook them for hours. So what you're looking for is easy and quick and non-perishable. And if you use cans, don't forget the can opener. Most people won't develop epic homesteading skills in 3 days, so you want instant and easy. And that's something my husband and I found out, not this most recent time the hydro went out. We live in the country. But the time before, we noticed that we had all kinds of long-term supplies, but we actually didn't have quick and easy meals. And so I've made that part of my more recent emergency prepping, is to make sure that I have 3 days of things that you just really need to add boiling water to, and they're complete meals. And I've been getting them from Thrive Life, but you can get them, Mountain House or other kits like that. So just something to think about. Another thing you might not think of as a necessity, but snacks. They're really a comfort food and they will help boost morale in a crisis, especially for your children. The next one is sanitation. Sanitation can be tricky, especially with a power outage. So add some baby wipes to your 72-hour kit. You can wash yourself with wipes and conserve your water. Toilet paper is a good thing to have extra of, as we learned in the last couple of years. Black garbage bags are very handy for disposing of garbage and waste, and if the toilet facilities are down, they can help with sanitation as well. So in the case of most houses, if you can fill the back of your toilet with water, you can flush it. And that's where our rain barrels and our stored water come in handy. And that's where the little saying is, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. So you won't be flushing as often, but you can still flush if you have lots of water. We noticed at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a shortage of masks. So I recommend putting N95 masks in your 72-hour prep. They're easy to get now and quite cheap, but in a crisis, they won't be. The next one is medication. If you or your children need medication regularly, make sure you have extra on hand. If you require oxygen, you'll need to have battery backup and oxygen for at least a few days. We should all have the common medicines like ibuprofen or antihistamine, upset tummy medicine, and a good first aid kit. At the beginning of the pandemic, I stocked up on fever medication, Gatorade for electrolytes, Buckley's and chicken noodle soup, as well as NRC immune packages. That way, if we got sick, we'd have what we needed to care for ourselves and our family without having to leave the house. So I'm thinking of creating just a kit like that, that's just for colds and flus specifically, to always have that on hand. We've noticed here in Canada that we've had a real shortage of cold medications, for example. And I'm the kind of person who, I don't take medicine unless I absolutely have to. I'd rather have a herbal tea or something like that if that will help. And I do like to keep those on hand as well. The best way to avoid sickness is to be healthy and keep your immune system strong. But sometimes you can get a sinus infection if you don't treat your cold well. So it's just good to have these things on hand. And I suppose I should say the disclaimer that while I do have a degree in health education, I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not advocating specifically any of these medications. I am just telling you that if you need medications, you should have them in your emergency preparedness kit. The next one is a big topic, light and heat. Light and heat, especially in the winter, need to be considerations in your emergency preparedness, even in your 72-hour preps. If the hydro goes out, it could stay out for 3 days or more. You will need to keep warm, and light is even part of the security of your home. So, this is a good time to talk about power outages. We're talking about power outages here because this is one of the most common emergencies or inconveniences that we face. It's a little strange, but I actually like it when the power goes out for a couple of reasons. One, it forces me to slow down and be more resourceful about how to make a cup of tea or to just make things work. And the second reason is that it helps me test out my emergency preparedness. So last power outage we had, which is just this past week, obviously our grid is getting old. But we had a power outage this past week, and yes, we could have cooked on the barbecue, but my husband and I decided to watch videos on how to make a rocket stove out of cinder blocks. And it looks like fun to us, so that's our next project. My husband has found that he has a bunch of cinder blocks. He just has to cut a couple of them in half to make H blocks, because they're not as easy to find. And then we'll be creating our own cinder block rocket stove, so that next time the power goes out, we'll have that ready outside, and it can just be fueled with any old sticks or dried grass or anything that you find. So it is hard to cook, and I love power outages, but I'm sure if a power outage lasted for 2 weeks, I wouldn't love it so much. Anyway, speaking of power outages, so those of us who live in a rural setting like me do experience this somewhat frequently. Power outages can happen due to weather, trees falling, declining infrastructure, and there is even the risk of cyber attacks, which can cause a grid to go down. So for our purpose, we'll focus on short-term preparedness for power outages because it fits into our 72-hour emergency plan. And the next one is heat. Heat in the Canadian winter. Heat is vital so that we don't get hypothermia and die of exposure. You can set up your home with a wood stove or wood furnace. Not everyone can do that. We are very blessed to heat our home with an outdoor wood furnace, but I will tell you that it does require electricity to run the pump, and so we would still have to get a solution for that. But if you have a natural gas or propane fireplace, you can get a battery backup ignition for it, and it will run when the power is out as long as the gas lines aren't compromised. You may all need to gather with pillows and blankets in the living room and close the doors to the other rooms, but you will still be warm. If you don't have these options, there are propane or kerosene heaters, but be cautious of carbon monoxide fumes. They must be rated for indoor use, or you must vent the room. If you don't have any of these things, one idea is to set up a tent inside your house and sleep in there with your family. A well-supervised candle and/or body heat will be trapped inside a smaller area, and you will be warm in the smaller space instead of trying to heat the whole house. It also makes it fun for the children because it's like you're going camping, but it's in your own house. It's like making the best of a bad situation. If you have a gas generator, you can run your furnace or heaters. Gas generators are noisy and you need to have gas on hand, but they are very helpful for keeping you going. If you are storing emergency gas, here's an important tip. Get the Supreme gas that has no ethanol in it so it is stable longer, and you can add special additives as well to prolong its storage. Generators are noisy and will alert your neighbors that you have the means to generate electricity. You can also make a small room heater with a candle and terracotta flower pots. You can always Google that on YouTube. Do you Google YouTube? No. You can always use the search engine on YouTube if you want to know more. Hand warmers are a good thing to pack in your 72-hour kit. They are comforting and you can use them individually to keep your hands and feet warm during a power outage.
Canada Homeschools Podcast is brought to you by Headphone History, your complete Canadian elementary history curriculum. Headphone History comes with audio lessons, stories, and legends, and a reproducible workbook designed for the whole family. Go to headphonehistory.com. It's important for us to learn our history.
Light. Light is important so that you can see what you're doing, and it also gives a measure of security for your premises. It can make the crisis seem less scary too, and it's really important for children that they can see and feel secure rather than be in the dark. There are so many ways to provide light in a power outage these days. I have fond memories from childhood of playing cards around the table lit by an oil lamp when the power went out. Candles, oil lamps, flashlights, and solar lights are all great ways to light your way during a power outage. If you have a generator, you can power your lights as well. Please use caution with candles. I like to stock up on affordable tea lights and then put them in my decorative lanterns so they burn safely. A UCO candle lantern is a great gadget, and each candle gives 9 hours of light. You can heat your tent or your car with it in an emergency, and because it's more contained, it's a little bit safer. My brother-in-law gave me this for Christmas, and so that is one way to get some of the things you need for your emergency preparedness. Put them on your list for gift giving and receiving. I have some Energizer outlet flashlights that charge in your outlet, and then you can turn them on if the power goes out, so they're always charged and at the ready. You can remove them from the outlet and then use them as a flashlight for 3 hours or just turn them on. Enough time to find all of your lanterns and candles and get things set up. I also recommend having a solar slash crank radio flashlight. They are very affordable and can run on batteries, hand cranking, or solar power. So the second last time the hydro went out, we decided to try our solar crank radio flashlight, and we decided to try to power up the battery by cranking it. We cranked for hours and it really didn't do much. So I recommend that you spend the extra few dollars. It's only a few, and I have done so to get one that has, you can charge it with a USB charger when the hydro is on, and then when the hydro's off, it will be ready to go. Because you can't always count on it being a sunny day, and if you're cranking for 10 hours and the battery still isn't charged, it's not that useful of a thing. So I have mine charged up with the USB port while the power is working, and I was able to charge my cell phone 3 times on it when I tested it out, as well as having flashlight and radio. So I do recommend that because there's a lot packed into it. It even has like an emergency siren noise that you can do if you need to get someone's attention. It's very compact, radio, light, and the light is quite bright. It's an LED light. So I do recommend getting one of those, and I'll try to link some of those below with our Amazon affiliate links if you don't know where to look. And so this brings me to another aspect of power outages and emergencies, and that is communication. We rely so much on our cell phones these days that many of us don't even know our family's phone numbers from memory. And so if we didn't have our cell phone or it died, we'd kind of be lost a little bit and not able to connect with people. If the power grid goes down and our phone battery dies, then how do we even call mom when we don't have our number memorized anymore? So the crank radio that I mentioned does have USB ports from which you can charge your phone. So if the cell towers are still working and the internet is working, and those are big ifs, being able to charge your phone can keep you connected to your loved ones and the world. The radio can give you emergency alerts or weather warnings, or you can listen to the radio for entertainment even though the power is off, although it is kind of nice to be unplugged a little bit. As part of your preparedness, be sure then to have your important phone numbers written down and even a physical map or route to get to a relative's house if that is where you plan to weather the crisis. There are some apps that use a mesh grid that can still work when the internet is down, but unfortunately they don't have a big range, only 100 meters or so at the outside maximum, but they could come in handy. Signal offline is one of them, and you can make doing that research part of your preparedness plan. Walkie-talkies can help with communication as long as their batteries are charged. But the best communication of all is having a plan ahead of time. It's like running fire drills in your home with your children. Here's a question for you in the comments below. Do you run fire drills with your children? That's something that we used to run with ours, and we probably still should. But they all know the meeting place, and they know the exits and everything for leaving the house safely and where to meet. So my mom, for example, knows that if she needs to evacuate. Oh my goodness. If she needs to evacuate the city, she is to come to our home because we have prepped for her, and with our wood stove, we know we'll be warm and she'll have everything that she needs and be safe. So she always has a get home bag in her car, so she's prepared to get here and she knows the way without her GPS. Get home bags are a whole other topic. Really, they're like a knapsack that has the main things that you would need to get where you're going or to survive if your car breaks down or that sort of thing. But again, the best communication is to make a plan with your family members. Let's talk about cooking. When the power is down, all the modern conveniences we are used to stop working. Your barbecue will be your best friend at this time, if you have enough propane. Propane stores well, and it is a good idea to have two extra tanks in your garage for emergencies, or even for when it runs out in the middle of making supper. Again, do not use your barbecue indoors, tempting as that will be. You can also purchase a simple portable camping stove used by backpackers for about $40 that can use sticks or any other fuel source if you don't have propane. And I talked to you already about the cinder block rocket stove that my husband and I are going to make that we learned from YouTube. I recommend that you keep a couple of cast iron pans, such as a frying pan or a Dutch oven, on hand for emergency cooking. You can even cook over a campfire with cast iron, and you can bake bread or anything else in a Dutch oven in the coals of the campfire, so they are very useful. We had a power outage one Easter, and I was still able to make the sweet potato casserole that I take to my mom's on the barbecue with my cast iron pots. If you plan to use a campfire, have some emergency firewood on hand, and if you can make or purchase a cooking grate, that is a good idea. Or use the one from your barbecue if you've run out of propane. Just a reminder, for the first 72 hours, you want to have easy, instant, or just add water foods. You can get more fancy as time goes on. If you don't have those handy meals, if you have to bug out, like when the tornado was hitting people's houses and they couldn't stay in their houses, it would be very handy to have some cash and some easy food to just take with you as you run away. And finally, entertainment. And this is where homeschoolers, I think, really shine, because we tend to have more resources at home. We have whole libraries of books, we have games, we have puzzles. So homeschoolers in some ways are more prepared in terms of entertaining ourselves at home than the average populace. And we definitely found this during the pandemic, when schools were shutting down and parents didn't have resources and the schools weren't even ready to do online learning. Homeschoolers were really in their sweet spot because they were already home. They had all the resources that they need and curriculum. And so I'm sure they didn't experience the same learning loss that other kids who weren't homeschooled did. And so this is a great way that homeschoolers are prepared. But even so, as homeschoolers, we still live in a very entertained society, so it's a good idea to have some cards or board games in your home for your 72-hour preps. This will give the kids something to focus on other than their worries or fears, especially if the power is out. Our kids have very fond memories of power outages at our home growing up because we were prepared. Another thing I just want to talk about is having cash, and I've touched on it a couple of things. It's important to have an emergency fund. Thank goodness we had one when my husband was laid off and my income went to zero at the beginning of the pandemic. But it's also important to have literal cash. Remember the day Rogers was down for a whole day? I don't know if you experienced that in your area, but if you didn't have actual cash in hand, you couldn't do any transactions at all. And it's important to have them in small bills, so that, because people won't necessarily be able to make you change. If power is out, debit machines won't work. I went to do a bank deposit the other day and the bank's power was out, and so they couldn't serve me at all. What if I had needed to get out some money? So again, small bills will be best, because stores can't always make change, but you can still get what you need. So I really want to challenge everyone listening. Is your homeschool prepared? Are you prepared for first 72 hours and then building it up from there? We live in a crazy world and our infrastructure is wearing down, and these things will happen more and more. In past times, people were not so electronically or technologically dependent, but in our society, we have become so. So it's very important to have a plan for emergency preparedness, starting with 72 hours, working our way up to 2 weeks, and then 3 months, and then beyond. So let me know in the comments below some of your thoughts on emergency preparedness, or how you have managed to be prepared or be resourceful in an emergency or a crisis. And I'll look forward to talking again with you next time. Happy homeschooling, Canada. Thank you so much for listening. You can find helpful links and show notes for this episode at our website, CanadaHomeschools.com. Please share this podcast with your friends and leave a rating and positive review on your podcast provider. This will help others find their dose of inspiration and encouragement. Happy homeschooling, Canada! Hee hee!